You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Sale and Supply of Alcohol Harm Minimisation Amendment Bill is seeking to overhaul the state of alcohol awareness and advertising in New Zealand. Introduced into Parliament as a private member's bill by Green Party drug reform spokesperson Chloe Swarbrick, the bill is targeted at ensuring local councils have control over policies that affect their district and that wide-scale sports sponsorships and celebrity endorsements are clamped down on. The bill will also take the recommendations made by the 2014 Ministerial Foundation of Advertising and Sponsorships into account. Chloe Swarbrick said in the press release discussing the bill that it's time for Parliament to put their money where their mouth is and begin to more appropriately regulate one of the most harmful drugs we know of. The members' bill was added to the ballot in June 2021, and in Chloe's own words, by the pure luck of the biscuit tin, the bill was selected on the 30th of June for deliberation within Parliament. Chloe has stressed how important it is for Parliament to take note of the bill and actually consider the details provided within the bill and take action. And with the bill receiving support across the board from local councils, what's stopping wider legislative change on the matter? Due to the nature of the bill, I first reached out to Chloe Swarbrick in order to hear her perspective on it, starting off with what the bill stands for and how the current legislation is failing to adequately address the root of the problem. With the harm minimisation bill, where did the need for it, based on the current legislation, arise from?
So we know that of all of the drugs in our country, alcohol is one of the most harmful, and this is including both those that are legal and illegal, of course. We've known for a really long time that alcohol is responsible for a substantial amount of, for example, police call-outs, but also for those who are ending up in the emergency rooms of our hospital. And we've known this because we've not only seen those stats from our emergency services, but we've also had government commission report after law commission report after inquiry after report after different NGOs are calling out for action. So what the bill does is make implementation of two key recommendations from different government entities. One of them is from a 2014 Ministerial Forum on Alcohol Advertising Sponsorship, which is effectively chaired, actually commissioned by the former National Party government and chaired by Sir Graham Lowe, that is phasing out alcohol advertising and sports sponsorship. And the other is something recommended as recently as last term in Hiara Oranga, the Mental Health and Addiction Inquiry, and in Turuki Turuki, the Safe and Effective Justice Review, which is about empowering communities to actually be able to put in place rules about, for example, how many bottle shops they want in their neighbourhood.
Especially with the local alcohol policies, what is the pressure you're expecting to face in government and outside government with the public?
You can already see what the alcohol industry is lining up to argue, which is exactly the same things that they've been arguing for, you know, a decade now. It's the exact same response that they had to Sir Graham Lowe's inquiry and report back in 2014, which is this really nonsense notion that apparently they advertise alcohol not because they want people to drink or to drink more, but because they want people to choose between different kinds of brands. And again, that of course just simply doesn't wash. If you look at the research, particularly even that from the 2014 report, we know that it influences particularly young people to normalize and to glamorize excessive consumption of alcohol. And yeah, I'd say that the government, the only excuse that they really could try and point to is the fact that they promised at the start of this term that they would have a review of the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act because it will be in its 10th year this year. That said, another review doesn't promise anything. In fact, as I've well alluded to throughout this conversation so far, they have had many reviews and many inquiries, even Law Commission, which have all recommended exactly and precisely the same things, but they are yet to act on them. So if they were to turn up their nose at this bill and then to produce a review which would keep can further down the road, I think that that would be hugely disappointing to everybody who has been working in this space for a really long time now. Because we can all focus, of course, on this realm, as I'm sure the National Party will also come out and say, of personal responsibility. But the fact of the matter is that we have to start having a grown-up conversation about drugs, including alcohol, in this country. And whether you have a situation of a complete black market or you have a situation of a far more unregulated legal free market, whether it is that you have organised crime groups or large corporations who both are seeking to exploit vulnerable communities in order to make a quick buck, you have the maximisation of harm. So in order to pull it back from both of those extremes, you have to pull it into a space of sensible regulation. And you won't find another political party that has exactly the same logical, evidence-based approach to all substances than the Greens.
The fact that we know that people out there drinking, or it's the same logic with those doing drugs. It's just about how much regulation you can put to make sure that the users are safe.
And I think that that's exactly the point, right? If you've got people who are out there who are currently consuming illicit substances, and this is the point that I've made as I've combed through Official Information Act requests and parliamentary written questions to investigate the ongoing, the reinstatement of the cannabis chopper operation. We know that while we've been throwing good money after bad at prohibition or criminal prohibition and enforcement as far as cannabis goes, that in fact cannabis consumption has gone up from around 12% several years ago to now 15% of the population on an annual basis. All of that points to the fact that we do not currently have sensible regulation. So if we take away some of the bogeyman, which is ironic because when you talk about regulation in the space of alcohol, you're apparently a prohibitionist, which is the furthest thing away from what I could possibly be. And when you talk about legal regulation, the likes of cannabis, then apparently, you know, you're trying to open the gates to hell. And neither of those things are true. We're just out here trying to have a rational, evidence-based discussion. And I think, hopefully, what we're going to get with this bill being drawn from the ballot is forcing that debate on Parliament. They can't hide anymore.
Finally, what are the next steps with this bill, with like public submission and the readings? Where are you hoping it ends up?
Yeah, so this bill is actually completely unprecedented in the way that we've been navigating it so far. I've been collaborating a lot with an incredible group called Alcohol Health Watch, led by Dr. Nikki Jackson, and throughout the last year, we've actually sought the support and endorsement of councils across the country. And to date, we've got local authorities that represent more than half of the population in this country who are all calling for action on this. And I'd just say again, for the National Party in particular, who are currently talking on and on and on about, for example, in the context of Three Waters, the importance of local democracy. Well, if you care about local democracy cares about this bill and they want to see it progress. So that was the process that we were working through to try and break the logjam, actually, to get this bill up through a different means that didn't rely on the luck of the lottery, but that was all about trying to get the 61 non-executive members of Parliament to endorse it, which is a change to standing orders. Anyway, all of that's aside, which now has given us this pathway to showcase just how much support there is out there for this bill. I've also been working with and trying to lobby and have conversations with both particularly Labor and National for a really long time on this, kind of being stonewalled a little bit to different extents by both. We do, however, have the endorsement of Te Pāti Māori, so both Debbie and Awari, who I had conversations with several months ago, have signed their endorsement up to it. So it all boils down to the fact that we need 51 other votes, given that we've got, oh no, not 51, now 49, given that we've got the 12 from Te Pāti Māori and the Greens, and those 49 will obviously have to come from the other three remaining parties in Parliament of National, Labor and ACT. So I'd say if people want to see this getting through, that they turn to their local MP and they ask them to get on with it. And one of the best argument points that they have is that the largest council in this country, Auckland Council, spent over $1 million trying to implement our local alcohol policy to reduce local alcohol harm here in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland, only to be taken to court several times over by those with vested interests in the industry. And to date, 7 years on, we still do not have a local alcohol policy. And council unanimously has supported this bill. So it's time for Parliament to get on with it.
Alcohol is the most widely consumed drug across the population. Its status as a social and legal drug has concealed the ripple effects that can occur for an individual and their social circle. The harms that can be caused by alcohol include poor mental health, drink driving, perpetuated violence, etc. The marketing surrounding alcohol has been described by corporations selling them as targeting those looking for a variety of brands or those looking to switch, rather than focusing on gaining new customers. Low prices and high availability of alcohol are also issues of concerns that have been brought up. Alcohol Health Watch has also thrown in their support for the bill and the evidence-based ramifications that are set by its implementation. I sat down with their executive director, Dr. Nikki Jackson, to further understand their stance on the matter, and I opened the interview by asking about the importance of the bill reaching Parliament in the face of New Zealand's drinking culture. Firstly, I want to jump in with the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Harm Minimisation Bill. How important is this bill to be heard and to get passed through Parliament, especially with the drinking culture that New Zealand has?
Oh, look, it's so important that this bill passes, and it's so important that communities get to have their say. This is the first time in 10 years that we've had legislation in front of Parliament that seeks to actually restrict or reduce the harm from alcohol. So this is absolutely an important occasion, and I encourage every politician should be concerned about alcohol harm in their communities and pass this bill. I think one of the key thing about this bill is that it addresses two of the biggest drivers of alcohol use and harm. So that's the availability of alcohol in our communities and alcohol advertising, and particularly alcohol sports sponsorship. So communities are sick and tired around the country of more and more bottle stores in their communities. They've been trying to do something about it, and this bill finally gives them a greater say.
With some of the local councils, I was just talking to Chloe earlier about it, but Auckland Council has been trying for years to implement the local alcohol policy and have faced constant pushback from the alcohol industry. How can we further send the message that their messaging is not okay?
Yeah, and this is what Chloe's bill does. It puts people before profit. So not only has Auckland gone up against the supermarkets and trying to get their local alcohol policies across the line, so has Hamilton, so has a number of other councils around the country, and that we're actually almost 9 years down the process for local alcohol policies, and only 35% of the New Zealand population live in a council with a local alcohol policy, so have any protections in place around alcohol availability. So this bill seeks to get rid of that really unique appeals process that exists in council alcohol policies, and that puts greater direction and emphasis on what the community wants to see. So it's not just about the resources of the alcohol retailers, we're putting a greater emphasis on what the communities want.
And how is Alcohol Health Watch helping to echo the sentiment and push the message further?
Well, what we've been doing is we sent a letter to all of the 67 mayors and chief executives of council around the country, getting them to get behind this, because they're the ones that have faced these appeals by the supermarkets and have to pay lots and lots of ratepayer dollars. And the response has been overwhelming. We have had so many councils around the country formally endorse the private members bill, are speaking to their local MPs, making sure that they support the bill. And what we're doing now is we're going to start a more public campaign to really increase awareness of the importance of this bill and get people talking to their local MPs about how important it is that they get this across the line.
And with this bill, and even programs like Paddy Gower's look into binge drinking culture, how is the public becoming more and more aware of the harms that alcohol can have?
You know, we have strong public support for change in this country around alcohol. What I'm seeing is growing discussions and conversations about, you know, the time is right now. We've had these liquor laws for 10 years. They've failed our communities. It's time that we have change. It's time that we can do things differently. We can have a paradigm shift around our drinking culture. And I'm just seeing a lot more optimism that this is possible. And you know, I think New Zealanders are starting to realise the huge benefits of our country drinking less. It's better mental health, you know, better physical health, improved child wellbeing, safer roads, safer communities, you know, improved productivity. That the benefits are really endless. So I think, you know, Paddy Gower's show, Guy on Espiner's show, a whole range of media attention to this issue has really, it's a great time. I think there's a lot of appetite for change. And I think, you know, look at the Steinlager series over the weekend. I think New Zealanders were bombarded with alcohol promotion advertisements, you know, for this rugby game. And I think people are more cognizant of just how pro-drinking our environment is and how we need to change that.
And that actually gets to the point I was just about to make. Vaping and tobacco have very restrictive advertisements, but the alcohol industry can proliferate under this kind of free advertising. How much more harm does it do when you've got the All Blacks of all teams even endorsing drinking culture?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. These are the heroes of our young that are plastered with alcohol promotion. And you're right, our New Zealand law doesn't allow tobacco advertising or vaping advertising. So for alcohol, even though it's our most harmful drug, we leave it to the alcohol advertisers and the alcohol industry to write their own voluntary code of practice around the rules for alcohol sponsorship. You know, this time has got to end, and this is what Chloe's bill. It seeks to end alcohol sponsorship of broadcast sport, you know, the sport that we're seeing on TV over the weekend. It doesn't go to all levels of sport, and it's a really important step of really starting to break those links between alcohol and sport in our country.
Well, this isn't unprecedented. There's other countries like France and Norway that have banned advertising in sport. What difference does it make on that for them?
Well, research shows that the more comprehensive restrictions you have to alcohol advertising, you know, the more benefit you see. So, you know, we need to look at sports sponsorship, and we also need to look at digital media. I mean, the alcohol industry is out there in social media targeting individuals using algorithms, particularly heavy drinkers. So, you know, I think we need to look at, you know, measures across the board. But, you know, alcohol advertising is a real driver of our drinking culture, and it makes it harder for New Zealanders to cut back on their drinking when they see just all of these ads out there and the way that they promote and glorify alcohol. So if we remove that from our environment, I actually firmly believe it would support New Zealanders to have conversations about their drinking and to cut down their drinking, and then they can reap those benefits of drinking less.
And with alcohol marketing targeting those to drink earlier, the official byline from alcohol companies is that it's not about the age of drinking, it's about the variety. But yeah. How does this also prove to be an issue?
Yeah, so the alcohol industry say time and time again, we're not advertising to drive up consumption. We're just getting people to switch from Montice to Lion Red, and that alcohol consumption will stay the same. That is absolute rubbish. And the evidence is really clear that, yes, it does encourage brand switching, but what it does is increasing really favourable attitudes towards alcohol, you know, in general. It normalises alcohol use in society. So, you know, that's rubbish. It's just about getting people to switch beer brands. This is about driving consumption, making more money.
To wrap up the alcohol advertising point, what more can the bill do to push for the ending of alcohol advertising sponsorships?
Yeah, well, we're increasingly seeing alcohol sponsorship move away from some particular sporting codes to music events. So we're seeing, you know, almost every summer festival this year seem to be sponsored by an alcohol company. This is where young adults are. They're our riskiest drinkers. So, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want just sponsorship revenue to move from sport to other events. We actually need to kind of end it across the board. And music events, I think, is a key strategy that's used by the alcohol industry. And so, you know, Jim Beam Homegrown, you know, it's more of an alcohol event than it is a music event. So I think we need to be looking at those kind of places as well.
And finally, is there anything more that the bill should add that could help curb drinking rates, or even just the amount of stores that are popping up, or to protect the general population?
Well, one of the biggest, if not the single biggest driver of alcohol use from an alcohol policy perspective is the price. And what the research has shown is that over years and years and years, alcohol has become more affordable than ever before. Your wages can buy more alcohol than they ever could. And so when we have cheap alcohol sold for around 77 cents a standard drink, that enables heavy drinking. You can buy more alcohol for the same cost. So, you know, availability, important. Advertising, really important. The biggest driver is the price. And we've done nothing in this country to address the increasing affordability of alcohol.
Overall, changes to the culture surrounding the prevalence of alcohol and its level of safety and harm will take time, but this bill is just the first step in achieving a widespread change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.